KN4SMK. Anybody got your ears on?
I'm here, K4BAN.
Hey, how you doing? I'm via Echolink right now because for some reason I can't key up the repeater. I can hear it, but I can't key it up. I noticed the identification and stuff changed. Is there a PL tone or, like, what am I missing?
Work on it. I think they've got a temporary repeater up there right now. I'm in Clemson. I couldn't key it up with my handheld last night, and I emailed Dave, and he said they're currently working on it and getting feedback. So if you would, you got Dave Watson's email address or where you're located, I could email him and let him know. What equipment were you using at the time you had the issue?
QSL. Yeah, I'm in a city called Toccoa, Georgia. T-O-C-C-O-A. Tango, Oscar, Charlie, Oscar, Alpha. And it's Georgia. And the call sign is Kilo, November 4, Sierra, Mike, Kilo. And name is Doug, Delta, Oscar, Uniform, Golf. And, yeah, I'm on 146.610 with a negative offset, 6 kilohertz, no PL tone. And I hear it. I mean, perfect. Like, it's perfectly clear. I receive it full strength. And it's just like it won't key up. And that's what's weird is because I've always been able to hit it. And you'd think, well, you can't key it up. You shouldn't be able to hear it. But, I mean, I hear it perfectly.
Outside. W4DJW.
I can tell them directly. K4BAN.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Alex. We're headed up there within the hour to reduce the squelch setting. We had to make a decision on the squelch about where to set it, and the balance is where it's not kerchunking all the time, but people can get in. So we landed a little bit on the high side, so we're going up there within a couple of hours to reduce that value. So stations that are further away should be able to get in. The goal is to reduce it to maximize the quantity of stations that can get in from distance, but at the same time not make it start kerchunking a lot because there's a lot of RF noise up there at the site. W4DJW.
But yeah, so basically you effectively want to simulate sort of like what a PL tone would do as far as, you know, eliminating interference but without adding one.
That's affirmative. And yes, we did go up to the site. Yeah, affirmative. We do want to, I mean, we know that eventually we'll have to put a PL tone on it, but trying to push that out as far as possible. And it may not be too far around the corner. But yes, Alex, we did go up there yesterday, and we have the prototype in place, and we're learning from the prototype. We're going to leave it there for a few days, and we have a handful of things that we need to do to make adjustments for. A whole lot easier to understand those when you're not at the site, because at the site it can be confusing whether you're desensing a receiver or your receiver is being desensed and that kind of thing. So we go away for a period of time, collect some data, go up there, make some adjustments, and then do it all over again. And continue that process until we get it fine-tuned.
For BAN, well, if y'all need any help or want another visitor today, let me know. I've got a service monitor I can bring up and can inject on the receive side if you want to know your actual sensitivity as you play with the squelch.
Well, don't want to take up your time on New Year's Day. We're going to head up there to make three adjustments and then get out of there really quick. We're not going to stay there very long. Just make those three adjustments to make it so that distant stations like KN4SMK can get in, and like you were able to get in with your handheld again without going down too low on the setting. But appreciate the offer, Alex, but don't want to take up your time on New Year's Day. W4DJW.
Got a couple couple projects I was working on here at the house, but nothing big planned. It's just more radio stuff. But, yeah, sure thing. Yeah, actually, I'm on the base now. I'm on a base 25 watts with a Slim Jim outside, so it's different configuration. I usually check in from my bedroom upstairs before I go to bed and listen to that with my handheld, but right now I'm on the base of the office.
Well, we don't plan on staying too long. It's windy and cold up there. Very windy, very cold. And I don't plan on getting out of the car, sit and make the adjustments from, you can connect to the controller, you know, over Wi-Fi. So connect to that, make the adjustments, get some feedback, and then head back down the mountain. Quick in and out.
Maybe some other time when you do a more exhaustive visit that could come up. Always want to see the site. Always like to see what other people are doing. In fact, yesterday I spent a lot of time at the Clemson, one of the Clemson sites, doing some research for another project.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind. This go around, it was hit or miss. We were trying to pull everything together. Thought we had it all together. Didn't have the link radio antenna exactly as it needed to be. So we were able to put the prototype up there, but not able to link the A2. So maybe on the next trip, when it's a little bit warmer, not so cold and windy, we'll do that. I got to go get ready to head out, to head up there, so I'm not late like I was yesterday. W4DJW.
Good trip. And yeah, we'll be around if you'll do any tests at K4BA and other station. Doug, Dakota, I mean to drop you out.
KM4SMK Friday. Yeah, I was thinking of a couple things there, Dave. If you put the PL tone on there, I think, like, you could probably publicize it, you know, pretty easy. Like, I was just thinking, I know one time we talked about it, and you were talking about, like, you know, somebody going up the interstate and they want to jump in, you know, not knowing it. Like, you know, you could have it where it identifies in voice and, like, says, you know, PL tone, blah, 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 you know, and, you know, regular enough to where, you know, anybody would be able to pick up on it. And you could, like, on the nets, you know, put it in a preamble, you know, when the frequency and this, that, and other. I don't know. It just seems like it could be made, you know, because it seems like it's going to end up coming to that. And one thing I was going to ask you, too, is kind of two-part key up here, I guess you could call it. I got a Nano VNA for Christmas, and it's like one of the good ones, like, that comes with the case, you know. It ain't just like an exposed board, you know, and got all the attachments and good stuff. Like $90 for everything, because there's like all kinds of attachments and, like, you know, the box, you know, to store it in, plus it's in a case. But I was going to build a ground plane antenna. And I can't have outside antennas, so it's going to be hanging from a command strip from the ceiling in my apartment. And I don't know if I'll do quarter wave or half wave, but will stranded wire do as good as solid wire, or should I get solid? Because I already have stranded in 12 gauge.
Doug, I'm going to let Alex answer those questions while I head out to get ready. But you are right. It will come to that eventually. But before we do that, we'll want to set a date out in the future, and we'll want to start making announcements at the nets and throughout the day that we will be doing that sometime in the future, and pick a date out there so that we just don't do it cold turkey, right? You know, do some planning on that move. But you're right, it will come to that. But I'm going to let you pick it up with Alex and let him answer your questions while I go get ready to head out. Appreciate the feedback, guys. W4DJ, WClear.
All right. Well, hope you have a good trip and everything goes the way you want it to. And it's good talking to you again. KM4SMK on the side.
I'm out
on
K4BAM. Everything I've ever read, typically, the only issue would be if you're just soldering it directly into SO239, is just getting it in there and then stability over time. But if you're leaving it inside, it should be fine. In fact, I just built this week two Slim Jim 450 ohm Twinley roll-up antennas. One on VHF, it works really well. And when I was reading, when I built that, the guy recommended, I wanted to use stranded because it was more flexible, but using stranded because it had a higher bandwidth, it's easier to tune in across the, and I came in a little over 146 with a flat SWR on that one. So you could do that. But you don't get any, if you're just building a quarter wave, you don't get any effective. You get a little bit more gain. I guess it's 2.15 dB versus an isotropic radiator. But as you get back into different antenna designs, like a J-pole has a higher takeoff angle than, say, a Slim Jim, which is what I'm using now. I'm actually using a copper pipe Slim Jim. And they're pretty similar in construction. And you get a lower takeoff angle, therefore you get more forward gain, theoretical forward gain, to like repeaters in the distance and such.
Good handheld antenna, so I figure, you know, engineer one, and that automatically will be a lot better, and it'll be higher, because, you know, I got some of that Mason string, and I got like a command strip, and I'm going to like basically, you know, have it hang down. But yeah, it'll be like 8 watts going through it, so it's not going to be like, you know, high power or anything. It's just, you know, I figure use the analyzer, get it as good as possible. But I didn't know, is there advantage to solid versus the stranded in any way?
Ian, I've always heard you get more, I don't know, I've never really tested it theoretically. I've heard you get more bandwidth with the stranded. I don't know if that's true. I've never built antennas one for one. You get more surface area, right? Because you've got, if you integrate the surface, it's a more rigid, it's just a perfect circle if it's solid. But if it's stranded, you've got all these other surfaces that come into play on the actual strands as you go around the conductor. So I don't know if that plays into it or not. I've heard larger diameter wire has a higher bandwidth because of that. So maybe that's also the same theory. Also, I guess power, but I don't know. I guess your Q moves around a little bit. But anyway, yep. But you can, I mean, you can build those twin lead. I bought 75 feet of 450 ohm twin lead from Gigaparts. It was like $50, and it's enough to build, I have no idea, I'm looking, I want to say like 12 of those roll-up antennas on VHF, but I'm only going to build a couple of those, and a couple on you. I've actually got one of the 800 megahertz I built for my scanner, and it works really well. Just a twin lead, Slim Jim, 450 ohm. You can build a 300 ohm if you got it. I think 450 works better, again, on bandwidth. I built a 300 once upon a time. It's a lot harder to work with. So, I don't know. I mean, the ground plane is definitely a good antenna, just a standard quarter wave, but then you can get all these other derivatives. For like an apartment, let me let it drop. I lived in Charlotte. I used a 5/8 wave on a bread pan near the window, and that worked really well. And then when I first moved here and didn't put up an antenna, I used one of those twin lead J poles up next to the window, and it worked really well. So it just, there's all kinds of stuff out there for inside. The quarter wave would work, but it may not be quite as easy to implement.
K4SMK Friday. Right. So what wavelengths would you recommend? Yeah, I know a lot of people keep saying half wave, but I was just, you know, trying to really maximize, you know, what I can get out of it.
I mean, usually it's a quarter wave. You have to, you get an officer, some things about feet, point impedance, and the 5/8 wave, you have to have certain tuning. So, I don't know, I have to look at the angles, too. You get the different takeoff angles, but if you're trying to hit repeaters, that's really what you're looking at, too, in the distance. there's gain, but then there's ERP, and antenna patterns are not idealized isotropic radiators. They have different, which that means it's idealized in all directions, uniform distribution.
Roger, roger. Yeah. I was going to do like the four radials, you know, and like use the angle to try to get it down to 50 ohm impedance and, you know, use the little Smith chart that can do to try to get it as close as possible. And I know that's supposed to make it, you know, a pretty good antenna. Yeah, I don't know about the gain and everything, but, yeah, I know a lot of people say the half wave, but I don't guess there's really a way to tell your takeoff angle without some kind of software.
Simulate that or test it to get a pattern. That's typically, there's software out there. And, yeah, I don't know about a half wave. I've never been reading here. I think your impedance moves around too, and you have to be careful with that because now you're not. So let me keep reading here. K4Media.
Roger, roger. Yeah, that's why I thought about, you know, I know they say, you know, bending the radials kind of at a 45 degree angle adjust your impedance, and I thought, well, you know, it does live updates as you bend antenna, so I figured try to work it down to 50.
November, Yankee, Kilo, Flash, Romeo, 6-1, repeater. The time is 9 a.m.
Things. There's one on QRZ, and he was talking, that's what I was thinking, he talked about difficulty matching a half wave. The 5/8 required, the new 5/8 required a matching K4BAN. So, yeah, it just depends. That's where you're going to get the tuning to. I don't know, you may have to have some sort of matching network is what it's saying here.
Roger, yeah, it's starting to sound like quarter wave is the easier one to work with.
Pretty much a fundamental antenna, as I call it. You know, just the standard quarter wave up, quarter wave side, you know, 45 degree down, if you want, or straight out. I can't remember if that messes with the radiation pattern or not. And of course, the 5/8 wave has technically $3 dB over. Interesting. I don't know. Interesting. There's all kinds of information out there. I've actually never messed with a half wave before. I've always done quarters or other derivatives because of your angles.
Roger. Yeah, we'll have to mess with it and see what we can come up with. But yeah, I figured do a quarter wave to, you know, get one that's going to be good, and then maybe play around with something else just to see if you can get it working, you know. And heck, maybe, you know, working with it in the VNA, it might end up working out and get something good going, but I don't think it'll be a cut and dry. I think it'll be kind of a clip here, bend there, kind of fix it situation. I got one of those chassis mount UHF connectors where, you know, you can solder, you know, the top part in, and then, you know, it's got four holes and like a little metal plate, and you can put your radials off of that.
About, I guess some guy's saying he can do it, but had a matching network. That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, I said, yeah. And it doesn't tell you anything about the matching network.
K4SMK Friday. Yeah, it sounds like it'd be one of those things you got to do your homework on. I know the VNA will, you know, help a lot, you know, like SWR and Smith charts and all that good stuff, but it just seems like there's going to be other stuff that it can't really help you with.
Because I messed around with it some and compared it to my antenna analyzer. I have a Rig Expert A1000 or something. Really easy to use. And I found it was somewhat inaccurate compared to my, we'll say my control, which I've used on everything, and it's been really good. So I still got the DNA, but it's up on the shelf somewhere.
Right, yeah, there's several different companies that make it, and I know, like, if you look at the reviews, there's a lot of shoddy ones out there. Like, this one, you know, I paid almost $90, but I got a lot of stuff with it. I got, like, all kinds of different connections that don't normally come with it. It's, like, got a box, like, that's, you know, like, real sturdy, and it's, like, got a whole layout of different stuff in it, and it's, like, the actual thing has a case that it's in it, you know, that snaps all the way around it, you know. It's not, like, got an exposed circuit board or anything in it.
Yeah, mine is kind of open around the edges, I think. And the guy sent me back some instructions to tune it, but I was never successful in tuning it. So K4BAN turned to one of those things where it was a half-a-day project, and I was like, I've already got something to use, so I'll just keep using that. But one day I may get back to it if I get bored, I guess.
Yeah, because, you know, there's different companies making them, you know, and this one, like, I was recommended this one from another ham that, you know, had it, and this particular ham is somebody that's a part of a group that I'm a part of with Ham Radio Operators Online, and so he's out in Washington, and so he works for the military, and he actually does stuff with antennas and RF and all that kind of stuff, and he said that he has, like, I think he said $35,000 analyzer that does, like, what the VNA does, but it does, like, a whole lot more, and it, like, their stuff is, like, certified accurate, like, they have to have it signed off and, you know, certified for accuracy and all that, and he said he actually had this particular one and had tested it and said that, you know, of course, you know, it's not perfect, but he said it was a lot closer to what he assumed it would be. He said it was close enough to where, you know, you were getting a good idea of what you're dealing with. Chance to check it on anything yet, but I know that, you know, they're pretty good, but like I said, there's a lot of different companies that makes it, you know, and so this is one that, you know, had really good reviews, and, you know, I know several people that's had it, you know, and see, what was it they said? Oh yeah. There's like these different ends that you screw on to the SMA, and you go into the settings, and then you go through this, that, and the other, and get to the calibration. So then you'll put one on that say direct short, and then you hit the button for that, and it accepts that, it reads it, and it's like, okay, this is what a short looks like. Then there's one that's open, you put it on there and you hit it, and it's like, okay, so this is what open looks like. Then there's one that, you know, it does different for different ones, and it's like, okay, so this is what this is like. And then if you're going to use both connectors, there's a thing you do to have it read between both, and it's like, okay, so this is what this is like. And so you have to basically show it what each thing is like, and then when it knows that, then it can analyze things.
Make sure you test it with a known good antenna, and make sure you don't have to run through that CAL process before you build an antenna. Otherwise, you'll be chasing your tail when it comes to calibrating or tuning the new antenna, because you'll be trimming it and doing all kinds of stuff, and it turns out you need to CAL your instrument. So that's kind of the danger of that's all.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely calibrate it before I ever do anything else. But the only antenna I have is, I have the signal stick, and then I have the V85, which are both handheld antennas. So probably not a good match to anything.
I just feel like a quarter wave mag mount or something pretty fundamental. That's one way to start. That's what I usually do. I actually have a few known. Plus, I have another piece of test equipment I can test it against, too. But, I've different things and tried. It's like, yes, it's going to work. It's crazy, too, how among manufacturers you get, like you said, quality kind of moves around. So it's good that you got that guy to do a lot of the legwork and figure that out, K4BU.
Oh yeah, definitely. And so I, when these started coming out, I was like, yeah, I'm going to hang back and let other people, you know, take the brunt of the trial and error. And then I got to where, like, I knew a whole lot of people that had it, and, you know, I know some that got, you know, the little cheesy ones that, you know, like, they had, like, the exposed circuit board, which, you know, that wasn't the make or break. It was who made it was one of the big things. And so then, like, I got to where there was a bunch of people that had the same one. They're like, oh, man, this thing's great, you know. So it kind of settled on it, you know. I let them kind of go through the hassle of figuring it all out. K4SMK Friday. Be a lot of money in shipping back and forth, you know, wasn't even worth that.
It's worth the money, yeah, but then again, I would technically, for the purposes of commerce, be now importing a product into China, even though the country of origin is that. So I don't know what that would require as far as forms and other things for me to ship something to China. I know I'm just returning it, but am I now importing into China? I don't know what this tariff board and everything else with that means.
Yeah, kind of gets in that shady gray area.
Repeater, a Motorola repeater of all things made in the United States. But the guy was in the UK of all places, so he shipped it over. Of course, it takes like a couple weeks or whatever, maybe a week or two. It doesn't take long. But man, it had a mountain of, you know, 5 or 10 pages of all these customs forms declaring this and that. It was, at the end of the day, it was like country of origin, United States, who cares, no tariff. But
Roger on that, yeah. I'll have to mess around with it. I haven't, you know, got to do anything with it yet. I've been busy and stuff, but yeah, I should be able to get it out of the box it's in and calibrate it and mess around with it here soon. But I was kind of planning out what I was going to do and getting everything together for it.
Like I said, they make those roll-up twin lead antennas. They sell them on eBay, other places, for J-poles and Slim Jims. They work pretty well for an apartment type setup. Sounds like you said you had.
Yeah, a lot of people in that group have that Ed Fong J-pole, which he's the one that actually invented that particular type, you know, and they got it straight from him.
I've actually never bought or tested one, so I don't know. I heard it works pretty well. I've mostly dealt with the collinear antennas that you typically see for dual band use, and built quite a few of the roll-up J-poles and Slim Jims.
And for SMK Friday, yeah, that sounds like fun. I bet there's a lot to that. K4SMK. Yeah, I thought you might have dropped off out of the squelch range.
Yeah, if that happens, we might be in trouble. I'm on a base right now with outside Slim Jim up about 10 feet, so running 25 watts. Probably only about 40 miles from the repeater in Clemson, but if I need to, I could kick it up to 110.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be a slight issue. You'd have to have like a crazy SWR, like 90% reflected.
If that happened, I'd have to look out my window and see if there was still an antenna. Maybe the squirrel got across the copper pipe and got fried, I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Shoot, get it on camera. Heck, you can put it on YouTube.
I think I'm going to work on a couple of projects here at the office. Things I need to clean up. Got the week off. Been off for a little bit, so trying to catch up on a lot of projects. But good luck with your antenna, and I hope you get it figured out. And also have fun time playing with the Neto V&A. And we'll catch you later, Doc. Just wrote down your call sign, but I forgot. It was KM4 something here. I'll figure it out. Yeah, KM4SM. Okay, K4VA.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. It was good talking to you this morning, and I hope you get your projects done and everything goes good for you. Yeah, get my day going here, and then maybe this afternoon I'll get to play around with it some. I've had a lot of stuff to get done, and, you know, of course, hobby comes last sometimes. K4SMK.
Three.
Okay, I'll be
That's why I tried to get a head start on you, because it takes me a lot longer than it takes you. So that's pretty good timing. I'm on 290, about 3 miles before getting to Sandy Flat. So I got a ways to go. W4DJW Mobile.
Well, I'll be listening on 61 once I get in the truck. KG4WMB.